A character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Stunt Granny Audio 202, right?
Correct.
203?
202.
All right, 202. This is Jeremy. That was Kevin. We're coming at you this week, giving Dusty a little break. Eric obviously won't be with us ever again? is that the appropriate word or terminology to use?
That could be appropriate. We will find out in the coming months.
Yeah, well, how quick can, or I guess we should look up Iowa state laws, but which I'm going to do now. But I mean, how soon can you get it annulled?
I don't know. We'll have to find out if they can get a dissolution, or if they have to wait to get an actual divorce.
That's funny. Seems to be a lot of questions about that for Iowa. What are the annulment requirements in Iowa? Annulment procedures are the same as dissolution of marriage, divorce. This means that one spouse called the petitioner can file blah, blah, blah. Nah, it didn't help at all. So, let's see. Something about custody. They don't have any kids or dogs. Spouse, grounds. First, if one of the spouses is under 18 years old, she lacks the capacity to enter a marriage contract.
Well,
then shouldn't someone be getting arrested? Like, the guy who presided over it and,
Yeah, no, we got out of that part at least.
Yeah. Oh, it does say, if her parent or guardian did not consent to the marriage, it is illegal and must be annulled. Well, if it's illegal, why do you need to annul it? Just go, hey, it doesn't count.
Yeah, no, that seems a little, a bit like overkill, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the next one, is kind of silly, really. Incestuous marriages are also illegal and not recognized in Iowa. Yeah. Really? Are we that archaic still that incest is a bad thing? I mean, just, that doesn't make any sense to me. Additionally, if one spouse has a physical incapacity that makes him impotent, and in case you don't know what that means, they have in parentheses, unable to have sexual intercourse, and a condition existed prior to the marriage, either spouse can file for an annulment.
Yeah.
That seems like kind of a bitch move. If you knew it going into it, why all of a sudden is it a problem? I mean, you suddenly realize, oh my god, I'm married and I can't fuck the person? Okay.
Don't know.
Yeah. And then a kind of a no-brainer one here. Lastly, a marriage is invalid if one spouse is already legally married and that marriage was not terminated by death or divorce. So, marriage cannot continue and must be terminated by annulment. Again, if you are married and you get married, you just tear up the certificate and you're not married. There's no reason to go through all these channels. Maybe I'm just seeing things in a too simplistic of fashion, but whatever. Just for those who want to read along, I'm going to post it on our Facebook page, which we've been using a little bit more.
Yep, just a tad. That is intentional. Now, we did want to get things in order here by not just worrying about divorces and whatnot, but about our actual trip to Des Moines, Iowa. On a scale of 1 to 10, how was Friday?
Well, let's see. I remember 80% of it. So is that an 8? I lost track of time. I lost track of everything. And really, I'm trying to think, how the hell did we even get to the bait shop?
We walked. I'm not entirely sure myself.
Yes, we walked. Yes, we did. Because the bait shop was just across the street and like a block over from the Oktoberfest we were at.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, I think it was pretty close because nobody was in any shape to drive by, what was that, 8:30 p.m.?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Friday was a lot of fun. That was the day we started off when we went to, was it Gray Lake or Gray's Lake?
Yeah, we went to Gray's Lake to start the day, which is where Eric and his fine wife now trained for a half marathon.
Mm-hmm. And I can see why. that was, I mean, you said it was 2.9 miles?
1.9.
Okay. Yeah, man, when we got about halfway through, I was really trying to figure out how long we've walked. That was pretty nuts. Because I don't really have a concept of the thing anyways, but... It was nice. I guess, you know, I was hit with that recession right now. Or not recession. I guess we all are. But, I mean, drought. So the lake was down pretty low. I mean, you know, we could see it.
Yeah.
Still, I liked it. And I don't know. I got a kick out of the abandoned silo. For whatever reason. Just seeing a tree growing out of a concrete structure was pretty incredible. It just kind of goes to my theory of nature, so.
Yeah, no, it can wreak havoc in a hurry, so.
Yeah, I thought it would have been cool to see at night, but, you know, it wasn't going to happen, so.
No, not even a little bit.
No, no. But.
We went to Gray's Lake, and then we headed into town. And we just parked, and we just started walking. Like, we didn't – I kind of wanted to see the state capitol, but that just became just not a possibility at some juncture.
Oh, yeah, the Kremlin? Yeah, no, that wasn't happening at all. Because maybe I shouldn't bring it up, but whatever. We had the hotel breakfast, which was fine. It was sustenance, but – You know, it was what it was.
Yep. It's a hotel breakfast.
Yeah. You're not expecting a lot, but they then we went on that walk, and really we weren't really that hungover from Thursday, I don't think.
No, we packed it in pretty early Thursday night.
Yeah. And I guess we should say Thursday night we went to the High Life, which was this really cool little dive bar where they had brown shag carpeting on the ground. And what was it? Only beers served before 1970?
Correct.
Right. So we were drinking...
Old Style.
Old Style, Pabst. Obviously, Miller High Life was there, but it was an interesting place. That's where we had our bacon-wrapped...
tater tots with jalapeno.
Yes.
Yes.
That was fun.
There was I could have gone with just a half a piece of bacon as opposed to a full thing of bacon because, like, it just drowned every other flavor out.
Yeah, really silly stuff. But So that place was cool, and it was only canned beers. I don't think they had any bottles, did they?
I wasn't going to drink a bottle there. Like, it just, I would have been offending the bar as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, true. Let's see. But yeah, no, that place was cool. They had an old phone booth. And I thought the best part, I think we were all kind of enamored with them, was all the old beer signs.
Yeah, and I did dig some of the, there was a wall of bowling pictures, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
And I kind of dug that.
Yeah, and, well, you know, I was not captivated, but I was really surprised or taken aback by all the Miller High Life ads that actually had, like, real black people in them.
Oh.
I don't know. I just found it surprising, you know.
Right.
Just never seen it before. And the only black I've ever seen in a Miller High Life ad is that dude that comes around taking Miller High Life away from people. So to see, like, regular-looking people instead of, like, the funny black guy, the funny fat black dude with his cart rolling around or whatever, it was pretty interesting. I don't know.
Right.
So, but yeah, that was really cool, though. But yeah, we left there and we just went back. Oh, and then we tried finding a grocery store that was open past midnight.
Yeah, and barely got into Walmart.
Yeah, which doesn't exist. So, oh yeah. We, for those who haven't followed all of our shows, going back a ways, we've always seemed to have a problem finding food at night. Whether it be in Michigan, we went to WrestleMania 23.
Yeah.
With, you know, driving all around, we ended up going to Del Taco all the time. Atlanta was another disaster.
Not just for the WWE, but pretty much for the UFC, too.
UFC, I mean, they close bars at midnight on a Friday. Yeah, I mean, a major city like that just was shocking. So
yes, it was.
So the string continues, it just continues. Time just trying to find a store that was open, because we stayed about 10 minutes from downtown, all highway driving.
10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, so it wasn't like we could go out drinking and then drive. So yeah. So
yeah. So yeah, we keep on going backwards instead of going forwards.
No, I just want to give up. You know, I thought that was important. So.
Yeah, no, it was important. I'm just saying, I think I started in a bad location. I ended up starting in the middle.
Ever, you know, it's like Memento or, you know, a novel that
pretend we're Pulp Fiction.
Yes. So or Fight Club.
You might have to pretend a lot harder than that.
Oh, very much so. So, but yeah. What? Even Eric didn't know where this place was. What our little local art museum did we end up at?
I don't know. It was in one of their. It was one of the municipality buildings. I think it was like Polk Gallery or something like that. I honestly don't remember the name of it because I just took a look inside the door and I saw that there was an art installation in there. And since I don't like art, I really wanted to go in there.
Yeah. No, that was fine. I mean, that's when we were debating what we were going to do or not.
And that was part of the area where I was trying to figure out where the whatchamacallit was, the state capitol was. Because when you went to talk to Eric, I was like, where is that damn state capitol? So I was just trying to get that straight, and I still couldn't do it. Like, I just could not figure out where we were in that town for some reason or another.
I don't think I had quite as hard.
Just at that point, like, I couldn't pull it up on my phone to save my life, and then I just wasn't that concerned about it either, I guess.
Yeah. Well, true. I mean, especially with GPS, it did kind of save us from walking the wrong way the one time, so that was nice. But yeah, so we stopped there. Eric called, and I realized I know I'm not the quietest person, but boy, it seemed like I was screaming when Eric called me when we were at that art museum. That's why I had to step outside. I was like, oh my God, you know, and some of the horrible shit I can say, I just, you know, don't need anyone hearing it. But that's when Eric had the the smarts to tell us that we needed to go to Fong's for lunch.
Oh, yeah. No, we had definitely planned on going there. And, yeah, he told us to do it for lunch. And that really set the tone for the rest of the day.
Yes. It was pretty much over after that.
Yes. Yeah. Now, this place, it isn't, it's Fong's Pizza. And they have an interesting array of pizzas, some of which have Chinese dishes on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend and I ended up ordering a Thai chicken pizza with, it was peanut satay sauce was what would take the place of marinara. Then it was chicken, red onion, a little bit of carrot, and some cilantro. And it was extremely tasty.
Oh, yeah. That the girl and I got the loaded potato, just, you know, try something different. Boy, that was good. But, yeah, yours, the Thai chicken, it was that peanut sauce. And they made you wait for it, too. It was at the end of the crust. But, boy, oh, boy. What a stellar place that was. And they had really awesome tiki drinks. Or tiki mugs, I guess. There's regular drinks, but in tiki mugs. And, I don't know. Like, I don't know if anyone that listens to us is on Instagram. But I know we were posting stuff like crazy on there. And it's basically, I'm the same. My Twitter handle is Granny Maze. That's my Instagram handle as well. And yours is DeFrango, isn't it?
Huh?
Your Instagram is DeFrango11,
that
too,
is
isn't
correct,
it?
Yes.
So, yeah, so.
And,
you
if
know,
you,
like,
and if you don't know how to spell them, look at the Almost Live and Definitely Half-Assed review of at WWE Raw. And they're in print.
Yeah, it. Well, and we also we'll go over them, try and include them in the plugs later, I guess, now. So you look at our incredibly interesting lives of beer glasses and the wild, stupid shit. But, no, Fong's was fun. It was a cool atmosphere. Our waitress was cool. And then if you do a kamikaze shot, you get to wear a fighter pilot helmet the rest of the time you're there. So I don't think I said this, but the kamikaze shots weren't that strong.
We were already 2.5 drinks deep by the time that came along, so I was not completely sure how strong or not they were.
Oh, okay. It just didn't. Okay. I see your point there, but it just didn't seem, you know, it didn't seem as strong as it should have been. For calling a kamikaze and going through all that. But yeah, that was a cool little place. And that was the place we spent the most money at, too. For us, the entire trip. Like, a one-time shot, at least.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was the most expensive. But considering that we each had 4 drinks and pizza, I thought that was a pretty good deal at their happy hour, the dollar-off drinks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They had a decent soundtrack in there, and it wasn't a very big place either.
No, it was not the largest, and it was definitely crowded. So it's gone to on a regular basis there, because by the time we were getting out of there at 6, you could tell that people were getting off work and coming in there, because it got progressively more crowded as we sat there and got hammered.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I guess this is the point where, you know, we kind of mentioned Des Moines' a goofy city. And as we found out later in talking to Max, who is the bass player in Eric's band, Des Moines' not that populated. What was it? What did he say, 205,000?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 250, I think.
So, in all of, like, downtown Des Moines, I mean, there are a lot of businesses, whatnot, you know, you're going to find in that. Sort of your downtown areas, like your bigger companies. But all of the restaurants and bars were kind of like niche bars. Like, they were locally owned.
Right.
Didn't see a lot of, or any, not, unless I just totally missed it, which is possible. Quiznos, didn't we?
I don't know. We probably saw some of that stuff down there. But most of the bars that you're talking about, they were like, I didn't remember seeing B-dubs or anything like that downtown.
Yeah, and that's what I just thought was interesting because,
you know,
even
like the Irish bars, I don't know if I'd seen a Mickey's or anything like that. I mean, I'm sure they're around or even, but it seemed like it was more of a local thing than some type of a chain store.
Yeah. But the reason we bring it up is it seemed like a college town minus the college. Like, because for those who don't know, Iowa is in Iowa City, University of Iowa. Iowa State is in Ames. And then you've got Drake University in Des Moines. And I may have missed it, but I didn't see Drake University anywhere. We didn't drive by it. I didn't even see signs for it.
It was somewhere. And I think we were close by at some point, but because I thought one of the bars was near it, but I didn't ever end up seeing any signs for it.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I just found that weird, because most of the time you find these little niche bars or, you know, your non-big corporate bars, whatever, you find something around it, you know? There wasn't like, I mean, there was the Iowa Cubs Stadium, but that was pretty far on the outskirts of town, you know?
Right.
They have the Iowa Barnstormers, the Arena League. That's it. You know, so it's not even a sports town to give off this niche. So in that respect, I thought that was really cool. Just a fun little city in that respect. So
yeah, that was a blast.
Yeah. And then Kevin smartly had the idea that, you know, we weren't going to go to the hotel. We weren't going to drive all the way back to the hotel because we were going to meet Eric later, you know, for as long as he could get out. He was getting married the next day. But so we went walking around, and we went to the
Papa John's Sculpture Park.
I was going to say Sculpture Park, but I didn't know the actual name.
Yeah, no,
but yeah,
it's not sponsored by the pizza people. It's PAPPAJOHN, all in one word.
So, yeah, no pizzas and no, like, pizza signs anywhere. But, yeah, so we got to see the place where Eric proposed his lovely wife. That was cute. Heard some sort of rock and roll bar off in the background, so it made you go, so that's why he chose that spot. got to make our reenactment photos. And then we decided to walk back down to the Oktoberfest they were having. And that's where things kind of got blurry.
That's where they should have gotten blurry.
I remember Donald Duck, that really old lady.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there was a woman there that she was probably in her, at least in her mid-80s. And she was just motoring around everywhere, even though she was just completely hunchback. And she was dressed up in some type of official German lederhosen type of deal.
And what Eric, sorry, what Kevin means by 80s, he means 1880s. This bitch looked like a dried out apple. She looked miserable. So it was just like, wow, all right. And I, of course, I was just fascinated with her and got a bunch of pictures of her. but yeah, they had good beers there, so that was fun. I don't know. Just your usual German music. And this is where...
And that was good, too, because they had Hofbräu, which is nice. That's a good Munich beer.
Yeah. But no, that's kind of where, you know, we kind of started thinking, this is odd, because we got right into the porta-pots, you know, when we needed to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And most of the time with these street festivals, you know, you're waiting and waiting and waiting. So.
Yeah, no, and that's when it did dawn on us that my girlfriend was wondering why it wasn't more crowded, and it's just like, well, maybe it's because it's about a third of the size of Columbus.
Yeah.
It's not a small city by any means, but it's definitely a different size than I'm used to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Man, it's bigger than Greenville. So, you know, to me, it was just like, okay.
Right.
I mean, whenever, you know, stuff happens here in Greenville, like everyone in a 100-mile radius, it seems, comes here for some reason. So, but yeah, that was, you know, Donald Duck, the guy, we keep calling him Donald Duck because he was talking to my girl and we were all just kind of standing to the side goofing on him, and he was wearing a Donald Duck sweatshirt, which, you know, if you're a guy in your 30s, like middle to late 30s, if that, and you're out trying to pick up chicks in a Donald Duck sweatshirt, sorry, you're not going to pick up any girls. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not just never going to happen, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, no, you would have much better luck wearing anything other than that.
Right. So yeah, so he, I apparently scared him off because he gave me his beer ticket and took off. So that was cool.
More beer was exactly what we needed at that point.
Yeah. So.
And then, yeah, after that, we ended up going down to El Bait Shop, where Eric ended up meeting us down there. And that's what I was trying to figure out. There were so many good pictures there that I guess we should at least add some of these. Oh, yeah, I'll just add some of them to Facebook. Never mind, I'm an idiot. And they have 105 beers on tap. And what did my drunken ass do? I did not order one of the beers that were on tap. I ended up getting one of the bottled beers.
Did you really?
Yeah, I got that pumpkin ale.
Oh, okay. I do not remember. This is the part where Kevin's going to have to fill in the blanks, I guess.
Well, and then when Eric got there, he showed us the whole wall. They had a bunch of old photos in there, too, similar to the way High Life did. And these two bars are connected, so, I mean, it definitely seemed like they were owned by the same people.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole wall of just pictures of wrestlers. It's back by the back kitchen, and Eric showed them to us, and we have a bunch of pictures of that, too. Now, a lot of those are blurry because I was in pretty bad shape at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I did not need that pumpkin beer. I didn't need a beer on tap. I did not need a pumpkin beer. I needed no beer right then.
But I know I ordered. I remember I was trying to order food, and they said the kitchen was closed.
At 10 o'clock. So yet again, our failure to be able to get anything to eat late at night strikes again.
Yes. Yeah.
How did the kitchen for a bar close at 10 p.m.? Like, really, like, if you don't want them to stay there all night, if you closed at midnight, that's fine. I understand. I'm cool with it. I do not understand closing it that early.
Yeah, and I think what pissed off some of the ladies was that they said the kitchen was closed, but then we saw them bring food out for people, like, later.
Yeah, that did not do the ladies any favors.
No, so luckily Eric came, rescued us. We talked some mad shit for a while, and then the next thing I know is my girl's pissed off because they won't serve her at the next bar we go to because she's too drunk. Yet I got served and I could barely talk. And then next thing I know is I've got a pizza in front of me. And then we're in the car going home. I remember a bunch of mints because they wouldn't serve us. They wouldn't serve. So I got them back.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, I don't even remember if I had a beer there or not. And at that point, at least my girlfriend had been, she'd been dry for a couple hours at that point.
Oh, yeah.
So she ended up driving us back home. Because, yeah, again, we were probably about 15 minutes out of town.
Yeah, I remember setting the GPS for her on my phone and then waking up in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah, no, that was great. She was just listening to them as you started to snore.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you gotta, you gotta. But, I don't know, man. The ceremony, we're not going to talk too much about the ceremony. Kind of, it, just because it is a private thing. Very nice, very tasteful. Except for that shitty ring bearer kid freaking out.
Yeah, no, when even the groom admits to wanting to strangle somebody, I think that's fair game.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, but no, we met some cool people. Got to hang out with Max. Got to hang out with Murs.
Yeah, no, that was really fun, too. There are two guys that I remember Eric talking about. It was the two of them. So it was nice to meet and talk to them for quite a while there.
Yep, that's exactly it. Yeah, it's good people, good time. Yeah, and then, oh, God, I forgot we went to that, not Oyster Bar. What am I thinking of?
The piano bar?
Yeah, where the guy was screaming into a microphone.
Yeah.
Clearly not understanding the concept that a microphone projects sound. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little strange that someone who does that routinely didn't have any idea what the hell it was all about.
Exactly. And then we left. So, oh, yeah, but I didn't tell you. I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this. My flight home?
Yeah.
The first one was easy, you know, up and down, you know, pretty much.
Yep.
Detroit had a layover, watched the Tigers game, watched the Americans blow it in the – Ryder Cup. One thing, though, was as we're flying, you know, he just kept hitting turbulence, which apparently they don't say turbulence anymore.
Oh, really?
No, he kept saying we keep running into some rough air. We're trying to find some, you know, trying to find some smooth air, but whatever else. He used to say turbulence.
Right.
I was like, that's what it is. I mean, it's. Okay. And it just seemed like the co-pilot or whoever was talking was continually catching themselves from saying, we're going to have a bumpy ride or a rough ride or, you know, it's going to be kind of, you know, not so smooth sailing. Just none of that stuff. So we're flying, and he comes on the intercom, and he goes like, yeah, you know, does the usual pilot thing. Not the real exaggerated. He just came on. He's like, oh, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing. And you're like, is he okay? Is everything all right up there? He just went silent.
Oh, my God.
You know, dude, and I, you know, obviously, this has probably changed a little bit, but if you're in a plane, what are you worried about? You know, I know I tried talking about that with your girl a little bit, but
yeah,
something goes wrong, what are you going to do?
Yeah, no, you're fucked.
You know, yeah.
If something goes wrong, like, I mean, you're just fucked. Like, there's, like, not any getting out of that.
So just sit back. I mean, obviously, you're not going to be that cool. No one's going to be. But, you know. So, we're going through the rough patches. I'm like, okay. And I look at my girl, and she's, like, kind of looking at me like, everything okay? And I was like, you don't crash from turbulence. That's just not how it works. It's just you get bumped around a bit. It's a little uncomfortable. Just don't worry about it. Okay. Bounces around again. And she was cool, but then there was one, and this is why I said it was a bumpy ride, but it was fun. You know how like you'll drive in your car, and it feels like your car leaves the ground, but it doesn't?
Right.
If you go over a bump, well, maybe. Okay, maybe me. But, no, if you go over a bump too high, too fast, or... it gives you the appeal or the feeling that, like, you're actually physically leaving the ground and going weightless for a second.
Right.
Okay. So we're flying, and I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, it felt like the plane just went down and up really fast. So it felt like you were actually, like, floating for a second. And I heard, and I was like, that was fucking great. That again.
Take me on the ride again, Dad.
Exactly. But the lady behind us is when it happened, went like that. Freaked out some, and I just turned to the girl. I was like, that was fun. And she's just looking at me like, that was not fun at all. I'm like, okay, we got to go over this again. Turbulence doesn't take a plane down. These things are heavy.
Are you still alive? Yes. Okay, that was fun.
Yes. What? If you're dead, I'm not going to be able to complain about it, so who cares? But it does seem, and I don't know if it was the same for you, but when they land the plane, and maybe it's because I was near the wing too many times, or the engine the one time, when they land, obviously they put the engine back in reverse, you know, to slow you down.
Right.
At least I think that works. Didn't it seem, when you landed, that they were really, like, that engine was really struggling to go backwards?
Yeah, in the smaller plane, definitely. The best landing that we had was coming back here into Columbus, because we finally had a six-seater plane.
Yeah, Charlotte was the sixth one for us, too. No, I'm sorry, it was only a five-seater across. When we just got lucky and had the bigger. But yeah,
the bigger ones just land a little bit smoother. So yeah, the smaller ones, they feel like they're really struggling.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what was cracking me up. I mean, and I know I'm saying, like, you know, I don't care, whatever. But when you're going, and you know, planes do slide off runways.
No.
So that was kind of in my mind sometimes, because it just comes down and. You hear that plane engine whirring backwards, and you're like, there is a finite amount of space on this thing. There's a finite amount of space. And then in Detroit especially, and I've had this happen more and more, they land, slow down, but then Detroit has a lot of curves to get out to certain runways.
Right.
And those guys just take the corners, like turning to get to the gates. They just take them. Obviously these are professionals. That's always in the front of my mind. But they take these turns, and it's like, holy shit. That's a little fast, isn't it, pal? I mean, slow the fuck down a little bit. But, and then we got to stand on the runway, to sit on the causeway while another plane took off in front of us. That was fucking cool. Come and go out the other window.
Right.
And I don't know. Maybe I'm a child. And that's why I like this stuff, but it's not something you see every day. I mean, I haven't flown for a while.
You are a child.
Well, yeah, but
child
whatever.
Of the 80s.
Actually, aren't we considered child of the 80s?
I better be a child of the 80s. I mean, I that was 4 to 14, so.
Yeah. Yeah, 6 to 16 for me, I think. Or 15. Like that, but yeah. So that's pretty much Iowa in a nutshell.
Yeah, good time, and hopefully we will actually really see Eric back at some point. But Lord only knows.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got to work on building that relationship. And if any of those places we talked about, check them out. I put all the links to the different sites we went to. You know, just to at least. Free advertising.
Yeah, if you ever go to visit Eric in Des Moines, just as far as we know, don't go to Fort Dodge.
Yes, because as some of our new friends said, that place is a shithole. Okay.
Yep. Stick with Des Moines.
All right. Well, you know, we kind of included our first two news you can use segments in one. All right, so Kevin posted these, and the third one is Aces and Eights is now Queens and Twos. I'm going to let you run with that because you're the one that came up with it. I want to know the explanation for queens and twos is.
I was just trying to figure out something that was insulting, to be completely honest with you. Because that storyline has just gone down a path of no return.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously Thursday we didn't see it, so I had to watch it a little bit Sunday and the rest of it Monday. But I'm confused by the storyline, and it's one of those too cute for your own good sort of things.
Yeah, well, they kind of lost a purpose. Like, when they stopped trying to invade TNA and stopped worrying about, like, beating down all the wrestlers, like, I don't understand what Hulk Hogan was concerned about at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had nothing to worry about. So it's just like, okay, dude, like, he's like blindly raging against the machine.
Nice. Well, I guess I never understood the point of the group.
There lies another problem.
Well, at first it was this group of outsiders, you know? And then it was the biker gang, and then they just got in a big fight, and it just kept droning on and on. And it was like, well, what the hell is the purpose of this group after all? I thought there would have been some reveal. You know, when they were doing the James Storm as part of Aces and Eights thing, you know, they could have given them something there. You know, a leader could have emerged, and they could have had a new faction. Or when they captured some of the guys, you know, they beat the one guy down, and, you know, then someone could have been revealed. It's another one of these two cutes for their own good. We pretty much got some of the guys figured out, but it's like, are they waiting for like the big guy, like the big get of the group?
Yeah, and I don't know who the big get's gonna be, and they're only having them wrestle now. They're only having them wrestle two guys of the group. And that's the other thing, is that it was kind of a cool visual to see them have all these guys the first time they were in the Impact Zone. But aside from that, it didn't serve any purpose. Like, you want a group to just be some type of finite group. Usually, you know, no more than, I don't know, eight people. And, I mean, that's really even pushing it. You know, I would tend to slide more towards no more than six people.
Yeah, I've I don't know, maybe because the Four Horsemen got me kind of into this, but I always thought four was just fine. Six is fine. You know, the NWO, that's how that got watered down, and really this is kind of going along those lines. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, they don't have anything to do. You know, it's getting watered down because, like you said, they don't have a purpose yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not doing anyone any favors.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and even now, they're holding Joseph Park hostage, which, shouldn't the cops be involved at this juncture?
Okay, all right. So let's go with this. Before you jump ahead too far.
Okay.
Well, no. Hogan's going to go meet them, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Things are going to go. So they pick him up in a van and take him there.
Well, they beat him up and take him there.
Well, then they tie him, and there's a camera there, and then the parks. It's like these WCW mini movies from way back. And it's just like, what the hell are you guys doing? It wasn't bad, but now it's just getting silly. And then add to the fact that, I mean, they're kidnapping Joseph Park. They're trying to lead you to believe that Bully Ray's the leader with the backwards hat and the way he talked and whatever else.
Right.
I hope it's not that obvious, you know?
Well, but, and I don't even understand the point of him being it, honestly. Like... I guess they just really don't.
No, you're exactly right.
He's doing great on his own. And there's no reason to saddle him with anything, especially with a bunch of wrestlers that couldn't hack it. In the WWE, it's just like, nah, we don't need this at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's Bully Ray. Well, actually, I shouldn't say we don't need it. Bully Ray doesn't need it. Nobody on their roster really needs it. Just it's one of those. It seems like it's a lost art now, and I didn't even think about it. But like having a faction, just it seems like nobody can sustain it for that long. Like as much as I liked Nexus, it really didn't last that long.
No, but,
you know,
but
they, it was like 2-3 good months, and then it was toast. And I did, like, when they had the speculation that it might be James Storm at the head, I was digging the storyline. Like, I was having a good time with it. Mm-hmm. But the last month, they've been on TV less, and they haven't attacked anybody, which, I'm sorry, like, you need to have some sort of in-ring physical presence for me. And wrestling still, even if it's just to come out to cut the promos instead of just always doing them backstage and then not being shown at any point.
Mm-hmm. I still wonder, and it goes back, it just what I said way back, if there was supposed to be someone bigger for this group. Who? I don't know. I mean, I have no clue. That would have helped this out. To give them a purpose, you know, and then on top, knowing what and going with what you said, knowing that there's no long term, you know, life or shelf life for these people, to maybe give a small rub to some of the other guys, and then really, with this faction or whatever, do you really need all those guys in TNA? I thought that was one thing they were doing right, was just cutting people down, not using them, whatever. I mean, they had their TNA tournament or X Division title tournament.
Right.
And then, like, where's Kerry King and all of them, or Kenny King, excuse me. Kerry King's probably playing guitar still. But
yes, he is.
Kenny King and all them. They haven't been seen since.
I think it was 2 weeks ago I saw Zema Island. I'm like, when was the last time I saw him?
Right. So maybe they're just waiting for Jesse Soren to come back. I don't know.
Well, and the bad thing is, I mean, I as much as I liked him and I've watched him wrestle, like, I didn't really miss them either. Like, they were doing an okay job enough with everything else that it didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's not usually good.
Well, no, that I think that's always something you worry about. I don't care what league, promotion, you know, company, whatever. That's always something you have to be doubly aware of. You know, if they don't want to use you, all right. A week goes by, you know what, we're not going to fly you in. Cool, I got the week off. But then if it gets to the point where no one goes, hey, where was so-and-so this week? That's where you kind of got to worry. So
yeah, well, and on top of that, which probably didn't do them any favors, they took all that time to rebuild the X Division in some ways and had the tournament and whatnot, and then they pretty much just shit on it right after it happened.
Yeah, they rebuilt it and then went, all right, cool, it's rebuilt. It's like, this is not house building, fucker.
Yeah, no, it's not done once you put the foundation down. Like, you need to keep on going.
Yeah. But, no, but the Aces and Eights, sorry, got kind of off track on that. The Aces and Eights thing, I mean, now their big match is two of their guys versus Hogan and Sting, which no one wants to see.
No, Hogan and Sting aren't wrestling.
I took it as Hogan and Sting were wrestling.
No, that was his whole. That was the dude's whole point. was that they're not allowed to wrestle, that they have to watch. So it's two of Hogan's dudes against two of their dudes.
Yeah, but Sting was yelling at the end of Impact that he was bringing it. And Hogan said, yeah, you know, I'll be there too. And I mean, they really made it seem like, okay, we're going to be the ones fighting. So maybe that's why I just got confused after that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I can always go online and look, but I'm not going to. But, well, to me, they had their chance and they blew it.
Yeah.
It was my fault, so. But yeah, it'd just be better if they would have gotten it over with. And you know, even one quick point to your faction thing.
Yeah.
What was AJ Styles and Kazarian and Chris Daniels, what were they called? Fortune?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fortune.
I mean, they got together, broke up, seems almost immediately. And maybe in the grand scheme it was a little bit longer, but with episodic TV, it sure seemed like it ran its course real fast. But
yeah, no, it does. That was before Russo left, and I think they haven't been quite as burning out. And I mean, I think Aces and Eights is just a different type of burnout than that.
Yeah. Well, Aces and Eights was just a burnout in that they were like, we have nowhere to go with this right now.
Right, yeah, and I mean, they really did. That's what I was thinking. They tried to drag it out too far, time-wise. It's just like, oh, let's wait till Bound for Glory for the reveal, huh? Like,
yeah.
Really? Like, that's when you're going to wait until? Like, that just, it was just too long for them, and still, again, they don't have a purpose.
No. Well, yeah, and even their grand plan has no purpose, you know? He said, if we win, we get to come and go as we please. If we lose, you'll never see us again. Well, what the hell does come and go as you please mean? I mean, isn't the whole thing supposed to be about winning championships and making money?
Yeah, right.
It's just walking. You know, or beating up people when they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, it's aimless.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But, all right, so the next one was 3 Up, 2 Down in New Faces Department.
Yeah, I would say that, there were three guys that seemed to be getting something of a push, or at least the beginnings of a push, and actually they were appeared to be a faction, which was Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, and who the shit was that?
McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre. And they did do something a week earlier, I believe, or maybe 2 weeks ago. That they beat down somebody. So those to me were the three faces up, and the two faces down. There are two guys that took some very abrupt losses. I mean, I know that the matches in the WWE aren't exactly, 5 minutes even all the time, but Brodus Clay,
okay,
and Sugar. I'm trying to think of who that is.
I don't know if that would help.
No, not Shin Kofi. Tensai.
Oh, yeah, 2 weeks in a row, or two shows in a row.
Two shows in a row. Tensai gets it on SmackDown and then again on Raw in a rematch. So, yeah, that's what I meant by that sort of news you can use. Because Heath Slater has been extremely enjoyable. You can't have taken him seriously, but I'm not sure if they could turn the corner on his character a little bit and that they could make him serious.
I think he's got the ability to be serious. I don't know if they've got it in them to allow him to be serious, though. It's like they're replacing one goofy character with another. It seems like Santino's getting kind of phased out.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, well, all right, we're just going to have Heath Slater. Like, Heath Slater could be the guy, like a Santino, where he just will finally wore you down and you appreciated him.
No.
There was no, like, aha moment where Santino suddenly was just a good guy. The crowd just started laughing at what he was doing, and slowly but surely he became a good guy.
Right.
So I can almost see Slater doing that sort of thing, but I think pairing with Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre will definitely slow that down, because I don't get that faction at all. Or if you want to say call it a faction, with Drew McIntyre, T-Ben.
Yeah, I'm glad to know that he's still the, I was just going to say prototype. And I already forget which word he used. The chosen one.
Yeah. You know, Mr. McMahon chose me and all this.
Yeah, and he just goes, I'm the chosen one. I'm like, really? I mean, that's all you're going with?
Mm-hmm. He showed fire in that elimination chamber, and then kaboom, you know, that was nothing. I guess they're still mad at him for his wife freaking out during WrestleMania week in the lobby of the hotel, or his ex-wife now.
Yeah, that would have been a fun freak out to watch.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so...
So yeah, I mean, it's just, that was kind of weird, like, in some ways, we saw it coming with Clay. Well, I shouldn't even say we saw it coming. We knew it was coming.
Yeah, exactly. What happened there? I mean, are they just trying to get... who the hell beat him?
Antonio Cesaro.
Yeah.
Who, in his own right, I guess I could have gone 4-up, 2-down, because Cesaro barely beats Santino on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then just takes out Brodus Clay in about 2 minutes. It's just like, oh my gosh. Like,
yeah.
Hold on. Why is Santino getting more of a match than Brodus Clay? Like, I don't get why Brodus Clay is being punished, honestly, for something that they're like, hey, go do something with this shitty gimmick. And he got as much mileage out of it as he was going to get. And the kids still want to dance the stupid ring with him, too.
You know what? And I'm glad. I'm glad he lost because of that. Because that drove me fucking crazy. Ugh.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're asking him to do that, what the fuck? I mean, he was doing his job and people were digging it, so I don't quite understand it in that department. It's just like, I may have been completely bored by it, but the kids that are in the audience, it was doing its job. So it's just like, and I don't think he's fucked up in the ring at all. Like, he didn't fuck up as bad as Ryback has the last couple of weeks.
That Ryback stuff was hard to watch this week with Tensai.
Uh-huh.
You know, Tensai is not a small dude. Ryback's supposed to be big, but you also wonder if they told him to sandbag him a little to see if he would improvise. Because, you know, Jim Ross tried to cover it as much as he could by saying Tensai was fighting back or trying
to
hit. But he wasn't. And it was clear he wasn't. Unless that was him saying, you know, he's blocking it by sandbagging it, but he can't say, hey, you know.
Yeah.
He's just not helping the way he's supposed to.
Because, and really on the other side of the spectrum, when Antonio Cesaro gave Brodus Clay the neutralizer,
mm-hmm.
You could tell that Brodus was doing some work to keep himself in there.
Oh, yeah.
Is so that Cesaro looked stronger than he was.
Mm-hmm.
So if the one guy was sandbagging, the other guy was definitely helping making his opponent look good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And And I was so happy. I think it was Michael Cole pointed it out. And I thought this could really help Cesaro. When he had Clay up like that, and he stuck his tongue out and was like, "You're fucking right." And I thought that was great, because you don't see a lot of guys do something like that. And I know it's like you're not supposed to show up your opponent, you know, you don't want to make the guy look totally weak, because if he comes back and bites you or something, or beats you later.
Yeah.
But
it's a good moment because of how big Brodus Clay is. Like, if he did that and he put Santino in that, like, it'd be like, whatever, dude, it's Santino. You know, he's just such a smaller guy. Like, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. When it's some big fatty like Brodus Clay who's weighing in at 3+ bills, yeah, I think you have the right to brag.
Yeah. And that's really why I was really happy Michael Cole pointed it out.
Yeah.
He said, look, he's very happy with himself. It's like, yes, cool, that's how you help get a guy over. It's like, sweet. So, I mean, I'm not sure why they dumped the Oksana thing with him, but, you know, whatever. You know, just another face that you're going to forget about. So
yeah, no, that part of it wasn't bad. I still don't like him just saying stuff in 5 different languages. It's just like, let the guy have some promo time at this point.
Well, I don't remember him doing that this week, did he?
Yeah, because it was like achievement or something like that, or accomplishment.
Oh, you know what? I guess I should have said this before. It was pouring rain here yesterday. And DirecTV has this really weird thing to where if it's barely raining, I'll lose the signal on the satellite.
Oh, jeez.
If it's a torrential downpour, it's fine. it's just the weirdest thing. 'Cause, you know, and then my cable goes out last night, which didn't help, but thank God for phones. Only because I wanted to watch the end of the Tigers game, or to watch the Tigers game, period. But, yeah, just odd. So my raw viewing from last night was kind of broken up since I had to do it this morning, or this afternoon when I got home from the gym and all that. So I might have missed some stuff, but, you know, not too much. All right. Oh, and this is part of it. Let me just go real quick with it. The Jim Ross Appreciation Night. Yeah, I know.
Yep.
And as Kevin said, who didn't see this coming? But it wasn't as bad as it could have been. You know, it actually served a purpose instead of just embarrassing him for the fuck of it. And apparently he did a bunch of stuff off camera too. So on air it looked worse than it was.
Right. Yeah, no, and that was the one thing. It's just like, I think I was dreading it all night long. You know, I'm like, I know this is coming. That even though Jim Ross got in a good rebuttal and CM Punk did his job well, I was just already annoyed by the whole thing.
Yeah, and really it was the predictability of it. It would have been so much more fun if, you know, it would have just happened.
Right.
So, it's like everybody's appreciation like it's fucked up, apparently. So, but that's really all that needed to be said. I thought it was a strong segment. And him mentioning Steve Austin is just going to make people speculate.
Yeah.
You know?
I did not get an answer on Twitter whether the internet wet itself as soon as CM Punk said Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You know, he's been mentioned the last few weeks, but he made a big point of it this week, and I think that's just because, you know, it was Jim Ross. So, but
it made sense in that context. I do not in any way think that Steve Austin is going to be back.
Well, he may be back for a verbal confrontation, maybe.
Right.
Unless this knee surgery thing, I mean, as legit as it may be, he may be ready for WrestleMania, which that's just the fan part. Just like, please be ready for WrestleMania. How awesome were those promos in that match? Possibly. But
yeah, well, I mean, The Rock did a pretty good job coming back pretty much Stone Cold. And I think Austin could do it, too, if he wanted to. I mean, he's in good shape, so I don't know why he couldn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's his neck, so, you know, you gotta...
Yeah, then, that, well, I guess that could be the one thing that could be a problem, since The Rock is, for all intents and purposes, perfectly healthy.
Yeah. But we can get into that at another time, I guess. Since we've gone a little long this time, but we had, I guess, apparently more from Iowa to talk about than we both realized. So, let's hit it. I'm going to get the plugs. Let me get a drink of water real quick. Just to,
no.
Sing a hymn or something. I don't know. But, all right. So, hope you enjoyed the show. I don't know what's going on with the format change, because the guy who was supposed to be leading us into the format change, not a drastic one. Just don't worry. We'll still talk wrestling. Or rejoice, because we'll talk about other stuff. He's on his honeymoon. So, stick with us. We're going to be making changes around here. You'll see. It'll be pretty obvious. And in the meantime, if you like the show, didn't like the show, you can post here. You can post on our Facebook page, which is Stunt Granny. Just look for it. Like us. Don't use it too much during the week. We're trying to. Once things change over, it'll make more sense. So just bear with us. You can follow us on Twitter, Stunt Granny. You can follow me. I'm Granny Mays. Same thing for my Instagram. Kevin is the same, at DeFrango11, and his Instagram's the same, DeFrango11. Dusty Giebink is Dusty Giebink. Eric uses the Stunt Granny account, so if you want to bother him, do that. But he won't be around for another week, so I'll post his address. You can go steal his shit. You got something to send us, want us to notice something, post on Facebook, send us an email, stuntgranny@gmail.com. iTunes, we're Stunt Granny, or Stunt Space Granny, or Stunt Space Granny Space Audio Show. So I think that's everything. If not, oh well. I'm going to get out of here. Everyone have a good night, and thanks for listening.
Okie doke, kids. Of all the beers that that I had this weekend, the only one I remember is the one that I'm going to grab right now. Fest beer from Columbus Brewing Company. I'm still celebrating Oktoberfest, so have a good night, grandkids. Yeah.